Thank you, Pastor. It's always an extreme pleasure and a serious honor to be behind this pulpit, and a new one coming soon. I got to look at that. It is beautiful. The varnish is even, and I didn't see a single screw or nail. It's just really well made. My first pastor was a woodworker, and so I learned to appreciate those things. And it's a very nice pulpit. I'd suggest you look at it. You guys are welcome to be seated. And I am very excited to be here. I know it's usually Thursday night Bible study, and so you might go through a single passage of Scripture, or you might go through a topic. And this is different. This is specifically for the youth. But like Pastor said, the Word does not return void. So everyone is able to take something from every preaching of the Word. So I hope that you will support the young people with your worship and praise and response. But we are working towards an altar call in this sermon. We are working towards an effect. I talked to some of the young men in Sitka, and they were asking, you know, simple questions like, what's the difference between teaching and preaching? And I said, as far as I would define it, teaching is to relay knowledge, and that's very important. We need Bible knowledge. We need knowledge of the themes and principles in God's Word and that God has for us. But preaching is to create an effect. It's a catalyst. Preaching is to make change, and that's what we're doing here. We're looking to change something. We're looking together to create change, not only in ourselves, but in the world around us. I want you to expect to make change at the end of this sermon. Because we're going to pull back the curtain a little bit. We're going to show the backstage. We're going to expose some things that I think are very important for young people to understand early. There's certain things that you need to learn if you're going to move forward. There's certain principles, you know, if you're going to drive a car, you need to know which lane to be in first. There's certain basic fundamentals that you have to have, they have to know. And so I'm looking to position you with this sermon, to position you as someone who's more knowledgeable than your peers. That as those in the generation that you're in, that you would be the elite in that generation as far as knowing how the world works and what your position is in it. It's very important to know that as a child of God, because I'm preaching to a mature group of Christians. All of you have had salvational experience. And so we're not preaching to get you to the altar to be saved. We're trying to push forward, push past that. Amen. There was a man, he talked about holiness in our camp meeting, and he said, you know, holiness isn't a matter of being saved. I was saved a long time ago. I'm trying to make God happy with me now. I crossed that fence, and I've been running away from it ever since. And I'm just trying to be in right relationship with God. I want to be as close to God as I can be. And so we're going to talk about how it is that we can get close to God and why it is that we should. But first, let's pray together. Let's pray that we could keep our distractions to a minimum, that we wouldn't be distracted. I mean, that we would be focused in hearing the Word of God, that we would seek to apply it, each of us individually, that we would try to see how it is that this is going to apply to me. What can I do with this? Not just hear a word, but take something from it and use it in the future. And we're going to pray also that our response to this would have an effect in the generation that we're working with, that we're a part of. I count myself as a part of your generation. Yesterday, I woke up with a zit on my nose. I thought I was past it, but I'm not, so that's my badge. I'm part of the generation. So let's pray together. Let's pray that change would be made. Dear Lord, God, our God, Savior of not only our souls, but everything that we love. Dear Lord, Savior of my family and Savior of my friends. Dear Lord, the only answer in this torn up and destroyed world. Dear Lord, we pray to you. We pray now to you, dear God, that our response to this would be right. Dear Lord, that we would hear it rightly to respond. And dear Lord, that you would apply it to our lives. Give us ears to hear, as the Word says, and eyes to see. Dear Lord, let us recognize what your Word is saying in this place. In Jesus' name. Dear Lord, we need you. We can't do it alone. In Jesus' name, we pray and cry out to you, dear Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you that we can. In Jesus' name, thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. This generation, I want to tell you, is poised for revival like nobody ever has been in the past. It is the absolute truth that this is a unique generation. This generation has opportunities that those in the past have not had. Literally, this is a breaking generation away from generations of the past. I'm talking about opportunities that are available to you. Maybe you haven't recognized what they are. Maybe you just think this is the way the world has always been. But there are opportunities available to you that have never existed before in any time past. Things like the communication problem. As Brother Mooney would say, the communication problem has been solved. I think it's very important that you realize this. Phones are cheap. You can call anyone in the world. You could email anyone in the world. You could answer anybody's question about this doctrine, about lifestyle, about the Bible, from anywhere in the world. That has never happened before in the history of humanity. Social networking allows you to scale, allows your message to get out to thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions and even a billion people. Stupid YouTube videos are getting a billion views. You could do the same for Jesus. You could apply scriptural principles to YouTube and share truth and doctrine with people like has never happened before. There's access to knowledge that's never been available before. Almost the entirety of human knowledge is available online. You could learn about anything and you could be cutting edge. Not just learn about anything, not learn the fundamentals and basics, but be cutting edge online. You can take free college courses from Yale and Harvard right now on iTunes. These are opportunities that have never been available in the past. Never. Only the most privileged even got close to it, and now it's free. It's open. Everything is economized. Travel has never been cheaper. Travel has never been cheaper. You could travel and preach for cheaper now than you have ever been able to in the past. Communication is cheaper. Publishing, what I'm involved in, is cheaper and easier than it has ever been in the past. There is opportunity here. And you're part of this generation that's kind of sorting these things out, feeling them out, figuring out how to use them. Nobody really knows. We've only been able to make money on the internet for like 5 years. All the money that was made before that was other industries pouring into it. We're still figuring out this new thing that we have available to us. There's this generational gap between you and those past. And you're going to have to, and this is how you are not unique, you're going to have to decide your own salvation as every generation has before you. Because in the face of this opportunity, there is also a great danger for failure. You could lose your faith in one generation. In one generation, Christianity could be wiped out if there was enough unbelief. It only takes one generation to wipe out Christianity, but at the same time, this generation is poised to create a Christian revival that has never been seen before. I like to flick the aquarium, and I like to rattle the cage, and I like to bark at dogs that are sleeping, and I like to see things come alive. I hate to see living things play dead. I hate to see the living just lie there. I hate to see laziness. I hate to see apathy. And so I preach things like this. I'm hoping to rattle your cage. I'm hoping to rally you a little bit. I'm hoping to make you alive to the opportunities that are available to you in this time and to all of us. I hope that you don't think that I'm only preaching to the young people because we are all part of the same generation. We are all part of this generation, this opportunity that's available to us. It's extraordinary what God has made available. While we risk losing everything, we are in a point, a pivotal point of revival. I don't know if you've ever heard of the greatest generation. Have you guys heard of the greatest generation? Anybody raise your hand if you have? No? Yes? Yes? The older folks have. Okay. The greatest generation. There is a generation that was labeled the greatest. They labeled themselves the greatest. And they were labeled that because they beat Nazism. They raised up and fought Hitler and his armies and beat Nazism and that surge of aggression. A war that could very easily have been lost. They also beat back Japan's expansion and checked Russia's expansion. But this generation, if you read the news clippings and the writings of the time, they were extremely, extremely discounted. Not very much was thought of them at all when they were young. People wrote about them as, what are we going to do with these lazy kids? America will fall because this generation has no backbone. Things like this. They were greatly discounted. People didn't much care for those young people when they were growing up. Not much was expected of them. The other generations looked at them and despised them a little bit. Called them soft, said they were nothing but a bunch of partiers and drinkers. And then a challenge was made. And then a challenge raised up. Then a war was fought. And that generation found its stride. That generation found a battle worth fighting and gathered itself together and won a war that very easily could have been lost. It turned them around, this battle that was brought to them. And likewise, we have a battle being brought to us. In the face of this opportunity, there is a battle being brought against this generation. There is an enemy. We talked about the demon-possessed gal up there with Brother Farmer. There is an enemy. It is real. Don't pretend that it isn't. There is an enemy against your soul that wants you to lose your salvation or at the very least make you ineffective at reaching the world. There is an enemy to our souls, and he has weaponized society against you. Society, I am afraid to say, and I will demonstrate how, has been weaponized against you. It's been sharpened and it's been pitched against you. And I have to tell you that there is danger in popular society right now. Abortion kills nearly 1 out of 4 United States babies. If you are 20 here, you should be 25. If you're 40 here, you should be 50. 1 out of 4. You could look at each other and say that I'm a survivor. Everyone in this room could be. The survivors of that atrocity, your friends and family and cousins and the ones you love and the generation that's moving forward with you, are often abused, unloved, discarded into school systems that lie to them. Our culture promotes doomed relationships, both immoral and homosexual. Doomed relationships that are going to hurt them, not just that aren't biblical, but that are going to hurt them, that are going to tear them down, that are going to make their futures harder, that are going to put checks and obstacles in front of them in getting closer to God. Our culture sells drugs legally, and I'm not talking just about marijuana that's becoming legal. Alcohol and cigarettes sells drugs legally. All sorts of prescription medicines that we can put kids on, your generation on, to just dumb them down a little bit, make them more manageable. Sells drugs to you legally, pushes them on you, and glorifies suicide. Glorifies suicide in this culture. Entertainment distracts us. This generation distracts this generation from the realities. It calls good evil, and it sells us false success. Trips us up, sells us false ideas of success. Rap sells us false ideas of success. Business shows show us false ideas of success, how to get there and what it is. If you want to know what success is, you're going to have to go to the Bible. Society places us on faulty foundations even. Even the very foundations they put us on are faulty. Foundations like evolution, Freudian psychology, socialism. Society has been weaponized against your generation. And I'm not saying that they don't know better. I'm not saying that this is where we've come and it's a slippery slope. I'm saying that society is preying on your generation. Society is devouring us. Abortion fuels lust and greed. Entertainment creates dissatisfaction, encourages debt. Crooked politics gather power through lies and mounts more debts on the next generation. Legal drug dealing makes us slaves to the institutions participating. We have been at war, and so often we don't recognize it. Peter writes in Acts 2:40, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." And how much more untoward are we now? Save yourselves, he cries out to a generation of people. And we are so much worse. Untoward in the way that they have turned away from God. As that generation had crucified Christ, we have continued to crucify Christ in this culture, in this society. It is an untoward generation that we were a part of. But I want to tell you that it doesn't have to remain that way. We know that the world must get worse as Jesus comes. It is biblical that the world must grow worse as Jesus comes, but we also know that there is a revival coming. There is a revival promised in the Word of God. If you believe the first, you must believe the second. There is a revival coming, and this message is about becoming a part of that and escaping the destruction of this generation. As the world grows worse around us, you are going to have to decide which side of the battle you will be on. Will you be devoured? Or will you be part of the freedom fighters that are going to save people from being devoured?
This is the decision you must make now, not later. You don't get to play video games and wait and decide when you grow up. You are grown up now. You will be devoured before you ever get the chance to decide if you don't decide now. This message is about becoming a part of helping people escape the destruction of our generation. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. Solomon writes, after revealing that all the world is vanities, he's gone through all of society and tried the pleasures and the systems and everything that they offer, and he decides all is vanity, all is wasted. All the effort that you would put into the world, if you were to follow their systems for success, if you would do what they say, it would be wasted, is the conclusion of his writing in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. But in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. When it all comes down, when it's all boiled down to the basics, when you want to really know what am I here for, it is fear God, know God. You can't fear God without knowing him. Know God, pursue God, have a relationship with God. Respect him as he wants to be respected. Know him as he wants to be known. And then do his commandments. Know God so that when he says, I want you to go and preach here, or I want you to stand up and pray there, that you're going to know him and know his voice and be able to do those commandments. When you read in the Word that what you're doing isn't right, that you're going to be able to turn around and move the opposite direction. When the Word is preached and it's in conflict with your lifestyle, you're going to be able to say, well, I know God and I can do His commandments, because that is the end. That is the very end of our duty on earth. That is the end, to know God and do His commandments. It's about consecration. See, I'm asking you to make a decision today and to act on that decision today. If you don't know what consecration is, it's kind of like your church shoes. Mom says, what are you doing playing in the mud in your church shoes? It's kind of like mom's nice china. If you've ever tried to microwave mom's nice china, you know that that's consecrated to a different purpose. You know that mom is going to light you up if you put that in the microwave. Mom's going to light you up for playing in the mud in your church shoes. Those things are consecrated to a different purpose. Don't use those commonly. Likewise, this generation is called to be consecrated. Called to be consecrated, to know God and do His bidding. We need to be consecrated. We need to decide now about later. Decide now. Make your decision now about later. It's been said many times that it's easy to live for God hard, but it's hard to live for God easy. When do you start living for God hard? When you decide to. When you decide that whatever God says, I'm going to do. When you decide that whatever God, wherever God calls, I'm going to go. When you decide that whatever the pastor preaches, I'm going to follow that. My life has been extremely blessed. This is a secret to success I'm sharing here. My life has been extremely blessed because when I moved here, I said, whatever opportunity comes to work in church, I'm going to take. That was it. That was consecration there. That was all that it took for anyone in the room who wants to be closer to God. Whatever God says, the answer is yes. If it conflicts with other things, too bad, the answer is yes. And then pastors started giving me just small things. Just watch some kids so they don't kill each other at camp. Preach a five spot. Anybody can do these things. But the answer was always yes, and I believe that God got to know me as I got to know God. And God recognized that I was being faithful, that I had consecrated myself, that I had accepted His call to be put to a specific purpose. And so it has grown. It has grown. I have done things that I should not have been able to do at my age. I have been able to go places that I should not have been able to go. Doors have opened. But first it takes consecration. How can God invest in this generation if no one will say that I'm willing? And the decision doesn't come later. You don't get to weigh God. You don't get to say, well, tell me where I'm going, and then I'll decide if I'm going to do it. That isn't how God operates. God wants a relationship first. I was told by a very wise man that God does not tend to lend himself, as he would put it, he's very proper. God does not tend to lend himself to casual relationships. God doesn't want a fling, if we could put it in this vernacular. God doesn't want to be your buddy. God doesn't want to be your acquaintance. He doesn't want to be the kid down the street. He wants to be your father. He doesn't want a casual relationship with us. And so if you can step into that sonship, if you can step into that daughtership, if you can say, yes, I will be yours, then he will treat you as his and bless your life. If you will consecrate, if you will say, the conclusion of the whole matter for me is that I will fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of my life. If you can resonate with that scripture, if you can make that decision, you will find yourself much easier in your Christian walk. You will continue much easier. It's hard to live for God easy. It's hard to walk a fence. We are not helpless in this fight. We are not. We are the victors if we would only pick it up. We are not helpless in this fight. Yes, the world is crashing around us. I think I might have painted a darker picture than I wanted to, but let me lighten it up some. You are not a part of the devoured in this generation. You have already been saved. But now is the question, are you going to remain saved? Will you keep it? We all know those that have fallen away. We all know those that we had such high hopes for, and then they let us down. We all know those, and we don't want to be that guy or that gal. We don't want to be that person. So how is it that we remain? How is it that we stay? How is it that we resist the tide pushing against us? 2 Corinthians 10:36 talks about how we do war and how we are better armed than the generation around us. 2 Corinthians 10:3 and 6 reads, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself, every idolatry, everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity." That's what we do. We bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. "And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." We're going to go back and make things right that we disobeyed in. It's that last scripture. We are armed. We are ready. God is ready to support us. God is ready to outfit us in this battle. We are not the devoured. But we could be if we don't take up these arms. See, there's a theme throughout the Bible. Throughout the entire Bible, there's a theme. You can see it even in the Passion of Christ. When Christ is being crucified, if you would look, you could see this theme there. It's throughout the entire Old Testament. It bleeds into the New Testament, and it's true today. This theme is that you cannot overcome the world by worldly means. You cannot overcome the world by worldly means. The world sells us self-help, and the world sells us motivation, and the world sells us 12-step programs, but you cannot overcome the world by worldly means. We cannot market our way, we cannot politic our way into success, into this revival that we're going to see, that we can be a part of if we would only continue in the church. This is a theme throughout the whole Bible. I feel like it's very, very graphically shown in the story of the dog that returns to its vomit. The dog returns to what made it sick because it has no other option. But you have been given an option. You have been given weapons that are not carnal, that are not of this world, that can overcome the world if you would only use them, if you would only learn and grow in your understanding and walk with God. It is available to this generation to have revival. I am convinced. Solomon had it right. Our secret weapon is following God and obeying Him. Peter caught a vision of power. Peter caught a vision of power available to him, and that was walking on water. He watched Jesus do it. He said, "I want to do that." Jesus said, "You can." And Peter stepped out, and he walked on water. It was victory. And likewise, you can walk above the influence of the world, above the trap that is drowning those around you. You can walk above the black tide and pull people out. The warning, of course, is in Peter's story that for whatever reason he started to sink. I don't know, maybe he got prideful and looked back at the boat and gave him a thumbs up. Or maybe he got ambitious with his newfound power and looked out to the sea, how far can I go? But for whatever reason, he lost his contact with the Savior. He stopped looking at Jesus. He was no longer knowing and following God, and he started to sink. But all that it took, and hear me now, all that it took was to cry out, to turn and lock on Jesus and say, no, I'm going to go back to what got me here. See, you were saved by pursuing the Holy Ghost. You were saved by being baptized and repenting. That's how we got here. That's how we got out on the water. That's how we became saved. That's why we're able to step above the tide and pull people out of the snare and the trap. That's how we got here. Why don't we continue in it? I'm not saying that you're not, but I'm saying that you should if you aren't. And if you are, I'm pushing you forward. I'm giving you encouragement. I want to motivate you to push forward, to continue in what saved you in the first place, namely the Holy Ghost. We are warned as Peter was sunk in the sea. And so I challenge you, who are no longer ignorant, I challenge you, everyone in this room who is no longer ignorant of the war that we're fighting, of the truth of the world around us, and also no longer ignorant of how to overcome it. I challenge you, if the music could come, we're going to talk about the Holy Ghost just a little bit. We're going to go to Luke 24, 46, and 49. It reads, and then he said, and we're talking about Jesus, and then Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it is, it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins, that repentance and baptism, if you understand that verse, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. You have done these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. You want to be powerful? You want to be above the influence, is so popular the saying? If you want to be the one that can save people that you love, that can reach out and pull people out of addiction that 12-step programs can't and chemical therapy can't, if you want to be that kind of powerful Christian, if you want to walk like our Brother Farmer walks, if you want to have faith, if you want to be confident in your Christianity and the faith and the power of prayer, continue in the Holy Ghost. I will admit to you that after I got the Holy Ghost the first time, it was a long time until I got it again. Kind of wiped my brow and breathed a little easier and said, I made it. And I believe maybe all of us have fallen into that trap, thinking I made it. And it is a trap, because you need to continue in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is your power. You need to continue in the Holy Ghost. If you're praying at home, I would push you to pray until you see the Holy Ghost revealed in your prayer. And when you pray in the altar, don't stop until you see the Holy Ghost revealed again, until you get another filling, until you get filled up again to go out in the world. How will you be powerful without the Holy Ghost? Knowledge, wisdom, experience? Are you so wise that you can preach into people's lives and speak exactly to how they have been living? Are you so experienced? Could you ever be so experienced that when you say a simple prayer on a doorstep, people fall down weeping? Can you convert anyone with your wisdom and knowledge? Can you read any book or write any book that would convert a person to right understanding with God? It is only by the Holy Ghost that we are saved, and it is only by the Holy Ghost that we do save. I would encourage you to push for the Holy Ghost. Seek it like you once did. Push for it. Ask God. Reach out and take hold of the power and the privilege that's been offered to us. You are the child of God. He wants to live inside you. He wants to guide you. He wants to give you commandments, which are good things. Give you power and experiences that nobody else gets to have, because you're his and you're filled with his power. I would encourage you to push for the Holy Ghost, and let us all stand. In John 14, the Holy Ghost is also described, 14, 26, and 27. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. This is part of that power, by the way. If you're worried about doing outreach, if you're worried about witnessing to people, continue in the Holy Ghost, and He will bring to your mind remembrance of all things. God will quicken, and I've experienced it, God will quicken to your mind scripture and principle and give you words to say as you reach into their life and turn it upside down, as you deliver to them what it is they need to hear, because only God knows the heart. But it continues. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If you're hurt, if you're battle weary, if you have some scars, if you're bleeding out even in this moment, if you've been fighting suicide, and church kids do fight suicide, I'm a testimony to that. If you are battle weary, there is comfort in the Holy Ghost. There is comfort in the Holy Ghost available to you. Peace beyond what peace can give. Beyond what the world can give. Not the peace of a bottle or the peace of drugs or the peace of escapism that pervades, that just runs through our society. But there is peace available to you from God. To heal old wounds, to heal old relationships, to make you whole again. If you want power, or if you want peace, these altars are now open. And I would push you to pursue the Holy Ghost like you once did. I'm not going to close this altar. I'm going to leave it open to you. I'm not going to lead you in prayer. It's your life. It's your relationship with God. But invest yourself, immerse yourself. Don't be content to occasionally sip from the cup of power and peace, but live in it. Make your home with it. Immerse yourself in the power of God.